recording. There we go.
Okay. Thank you, Kendra.
It's funny that you have that same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess if you just want to start by Melanie and Kenta talking a little bit about how you met and sort of how you began working with each other.
I'm turning the bottle to you.
I guess
Daria Fine.
Daria Fine's project. I was doing sound for Daria at the
Chocolate Factory.
2005.
I think it was.
Yeah. I was doing sound music, and Melanie was one of the dancers. There was five.
I was doing chorus. More like a solo, right?
Started as a solo, but Daria kind of expanded the piece and involved.
Involved more people.
Four dancers?
I really don't remember.
Wow. Four dancers plus like three other dancers.
It was more at the end, we were all standing and it was kind of a lot of people.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's how I got to know her.
And so did you start working then?
No,
the next time that was kind of much later. When was the from Anne's at the Chocolate Factory?
That was just last year.
That was last year. So in between there and last year, we might have talked a couple of times, but
actually, I didn't see you for years until another Daria thinks that the vault. Daria
the
had
the dark room.
Do you want to talk about? Well, I don't know. Okay. Well, so like I heard her name and from number of people, I heard Melanie is great, and I liked her, but I didn't really. Got to see her dance much for the Daria's piece, unfortunately. But Chocolate Factory.
The Chocolate Factory, I saw your solo that was called, what was that?
It's called Tulsa.
Tulsa?
Yeah. That was part of Aunt.
Aunt's.
Aunt. But, do you know them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The event, what was it?
The chain creation.
Yeah, like a 30, really like 24 people, I don't know, the young people, were you part of it?
Mm-hmm. I was not part of it, but I know about the process.
And they chose three people, and somehow I got chosen.
Miraculously.
You're like, what? Just that one.
And when they told us and went in the dance community, like people said, oh, Kenta got chosen, and we assumed that it was a dance, that was more dance-oriented, but of course everybody was like, oh, cool, great, Kenta has chosen that, so it had a really good resonance. And then I was there seeing it, and a lot of people since have seen it and have kept mentioning it to me, how amazing that was. Two people come right to my head, but I saw it, and I was just kind of blown away by the physicality of what you were doing during that piece. Yeah, and it was about the sound that you created, but really I was all into the movement of it and how it took place, and correct me if I'm wrong, it took place over a certain amount of time and transformed into something very physically intense and exhausting. And I've, in my work, done a lot of phasing and continuity and kind of challenging the body into its real transformation and states of exhaustion, or what transforms when you just keep going for a while. And you were doing with your strumming hand, and kept strumming with that hand. And after, I don't know what, 15 minutes, it really turned into something very fierce and emotional and sad and angry. And the body was, it was about him dancing. And I kept looking at this dance performer or movement performer that the sound was just exuding out of the movements. And the sound was informing your movements, and the movements were informing the sound. There was no separation, but it so stuck out to me that the basis of everything is movement. Mm-hmm. And I mean, our brain is mostly geared, our function for movement, whether movement of moving the tongue and thinking, or bodily movement functions. Everything is about movement. And that time when I was watching you, I was really deep into my cognitive science studies and classes, and I was looking at many things from that angle of what is movement, like the basis of movement. And when I saw you and it wasn't in that familiar way that I usually see dance, it's kind of, I'm so familiar with that that's movement. But to see you come from movement and transform emotionally through all these states and move in the way you did was really kind of like startling. And I'm like, okay, I want to look for Kenta.
Well, was it that, I mean, because you do explore a lot of those. I mean, hearing you talk about Kenta, it's like exactly what I'm thinking about when I think about your movement. Do you feel like hearing him play at that performance, that was sort of a cue to you that you have more to learn in some way about what you were doing? Or was it that there was sort of ideas about collaboration with an artist who's clearly working with the same kind of intention and sort of underlying approach that interested you? What was the...
I think it's more about expansion. You see something that you're drawn to because it could expand. Me as an artist, or I don't even think that concrete, when I see something and it excites me, it's like drawn to that because it expands. Mm-hmm. And expanding means in some ways that it must be something that I'm already onto, but that's not my realm. I'm not a musician. I'm not trying to be a guitar player, but I can immediately sense that we are connecting on a body level, even though what we do with our movements is different. I dance and you create sound, but really we come from a very concrete place of, I don't know, like, we've talked about that before, and it's kind of out there, but I always like to
say it
about the invisible realm of movement and sound, and how I feel like there's something very strong emanating from movement that is not in the scene of the moving body, the shapes, and from sound in the same way, or from playing an instrument, and I see him play it and I hear the sound. There's something that I perceive beyond the actual tones that are going in my ear. Mm-hmm. And when I see you with how you play and how you move, I can sense this something emanating beyond the sounds that I hear and the movements that you do, and I feel like I'm so drawn to connect to that realm in my own dancing. And then I thought, like, oh, we can get bigger, we can meet in the realm of invisible and unseen, and sometimes we do, I guess. Sometimes it feels like the sense of synchronizing or...
Right, yeah, right? Definitely.
Well, I mean, I don't think it makes sense then when people talk about, or when I talk about, or anyone talks about movement, they say, oh, that really resonated with me, that you speak in those terms of sound.
Right.
That there's something about the idea of resonance, maybe that sort of connects to that invisible realm idea. But hearing you talk, a question that came up for me was, so then when you first came to the studio together, ready to work on a... You never did.
No, I mean, we did in the studio, but first we were in the issue project room together.
Yeah, well, we were supposed to rehearse next morning, and I was staying at Hop House. So, like, okay, like, and somehow I thought... I was listening to record of Derek Bailey and Tanaka. Mm-hmm. There's a record that from, I don't know when that was recorded, like 80s or something. And it's really bad to be recorded with like a cassette deck or something. So the quality is really bad. And it's interesting that record is duet records, but it's guitar player and then the dancer. And then you hear all those, you know, footsteps and then audiences, and then at some point, like, it starts pouring rain. So, like, you hear all those rain sound. Mm-hmm. And then that's, it's just not, I mean, yeah, well, only the guitar player, Derek Bay, is the only musician on the record, but it's a duet record, and then I still hear all those ambient, and then that makes that recording so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to that, and I was like, oh, well, I should call Melanie. I need some kind of inspiration. I mean, I really missed it. I've been working with dancers a lot, and for the last 11 years or so since I moved to New York. Mm-hmm. I don't live here anymore. But
no way.
It's crazy.
Kenta's cell phone is ringing right now. It is the sound of an alarm.
You really miss New York up in Princeton, huh? You need some sounds of the city.
It said Pac-Man. So I was looking for something really subtle, like waka waka, waka waka. I didn't remember this.
Daria. Oh, funny. That's funny. It's Daria. It's crazy.
But anyways, what was I saying?
Before the issue project.
Yeah, I was fortunate to work with the great dancers, and I had some great collaborations, and those are usually successful because we were more. It wasn't really musician hired by dancer.
Right.
I think
right.
Lots of times I don't think that a musician asks dancer to collaborate usually.
No, it's usually the other way around.
Yeah. And then therefore it's more like you get hired by dancers. But I was lucky to have some collaboration that worked out quite well.
Yeah.
And we are more good friends and good just duet rather than
I feel like in some instances when musicians hire dancers, it's usually for some kind of kitsch factor, like, oh, we're a band and we have backup dancers. Or something.
Right.
So when you come to hiring Melanie, or not hiring, but asking her to, come and dance with you in a concert or in a performance, it seems like, strangely unique in some way now, or
feel like that the issue project room is like, oh, I don't think they see that all the time, like a dancer.
No, I mean, the guy who curated it, like, he clearly told me before, like, oh, I hate modern dance.
Thanks for not telling me.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, this really opinionated guy who happened to be my boss at some point at the record shop. But I was like, well, but that's who I want to perform with, and like, if he doesn't like it, too bad. And I don't know, I can't usually ask too many dancers to like collaborate with me that sense, but somehow I felt comfortable asking Melanie. I'll give a shot. I mean, she was interested in working with me, but more of like, dancers asking me to collaborate or, perform with her.
Right.
But I have some kind of like a trust or felt comfortable asking her to do something together for the music venue. So audience is not ready for modern dance.
Right.
Or I shouldn't say modern dance.
I don't know what else.
Well, but dancers like start dancing in the music venue. They weren't expecting that at all.
Well, and I think that relates to what you were saying about this idea of recognizing that you are interested in a certain idea, movement-wise or artistically or aesthetically, that you this phasing that you're talking about, or pushing repetitive movement to exhaustion or physical extremes, and then identifying that in another artist working in another medium. And in the same way, from the artist's perspective, you see that and it's sort of like, oh, exactly what you said, like it sort of expands this realm of possibility as an audience member. When you see that, I can only assume that you're still, or if that's something that still interests you, seeing that together in two different, with a body and with a body with a guitar, that as an audience member, it's also maybe overwhelming to see that pairing. I don't know if...
Overwhelming in...
I think we're not really... I've done these kind of transformation solos over time and pushing the body, and I saw that in your solo, but since what we've been doing wasn't really in that realm of phasing out a long repetitive state, I don't think we have kind of gone from that point. It has been more like listening practice, and in a way that's